Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, from two different sections. The first is from Matthew 16. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." And a second reading comes from Matthew 26. When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." And Peter said to him, "Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. May the Lord bless to our understanding the reading of his holy word. Every great man or woman of God can point to a time of breaking in his or her life, where a time of conflict, a time of pressure, a time of decision transformed them from ordinary and sort of like a piece of coal, from an ordinary piece of coal into a precious diamond. We think of Abraham being that way from the Old Testament scriptures, Isaac and Jacob, David, Solomon, the prophet Jonah, who was spit out onto the beach to preach to the people he didn't want to. And most importantly, we think of Job, who lived a very stressful and challenging existence for most of his life. The disciples, too, were tested, were changed, were transformed. And Peter is one of those individuals who was broken for a season and then became a diamond in the rough. Let's go back to the very beginning when Jesus called him. For he was a fisherman, I don't know if you remember that. And Jesus was walking along and saw him, and apparently we believe that Peter and his brother were also followers of John the Baptist. And you remember that John the Baptist is Jesus' cousin, right? And John the Baptist predicted through prophecy about what would happen to the people who needed Jesus, and when Jesus would come, what would change. So I hope that as we study Peter today, that you might see a portion of yourself in his story. For God is clearly at work in him. And as Jesus calls out to Peter, who is a fisherman, and says to him, "Follow me, I will make you a fisher of men." Let's think about it for a second. You're in business for yourself, and your sales are really down. You're wondering where the next meal is coming from. You've pulled an all-nighter at the office. You're depressed, you're worried, you're concerned, and exhausted. And just before you gather up your briefcase to leave the office, you turn to lock the door, and at the last moment, a new client comes running in your office. He hands you a wonderful business deal that could turn everything around for you. He hands you a large sum of money. You're instantly thinking, "Wow, I can pay my bills. Wow, I can buy food for my family. Wow, my family obligations can be met. I'm on top of the world." And your head is spinning. And before you can even catch your breath, the stranger asks you to walk away, to leave everything behind. Would you go? The season of Lent is really a question of whether a relationship with God is important to you. Is it worth risking everything to gain more than you imagined? If someone offered you the winnings of the New Jersey State Lottery or the Powerball of all of the nation, and all you had to do was walk away from your faith, from Christ, from your family, from everything that you know and love and value, would you do it? Peter had a choice. He had a choice to stay. He was a fisherman. He had a good trade. He had a wonderful family. He was obviously married. We hear about his mother-in-law later on in the Bible. And he didn't have to leave, right? He didn't have to follow Jesus. But he chose to do so. And I think of Peter as being one of those men who had a walk of faith. He stepped out in faith, trusting that this man who promised him that he would become a fisherman of men, that it was worth following. Just like Peter, God calls each of us to leave our comfort zones, to leave behind what's easy, what's manageable, what's predictable, and to venture into what is crazy and unknown and a little bit scary. When Peter was close to Jesus, as Mary mentioned in the children's time, he was one of his best friends. And at one point in Scripture, Jesus says to him, "Peter, on this rock, I will build the church." And he empowered Peter to be a leader. And one thing we notice is that Peter does seem to like that role. He's kind of a macho guy. As I think Mary mentioned also in the children's time, he was a leader. And of the 12 disciples, he always seemed to have the right answer. And he came up with the right saying. And when Jesus said that he must suffer, be rejected, and killed, Peter draws Jesus aside and rebukes him. And Jesus knew that other people among the 12 would be influenced by Peter. And Jesus says to him, I don't know if you remember this, "Get behind me, Satan." And the story is appropriate to Lenten season and Holy Week. We find tensions in Jerusalem are extremely high for Jesus and his followers. Jesus is a wanted man, and the Sanhedrin have made up their mind to kill him. And we pick it up at the Last Supper. There's a lot of secrecy over this meal that is about to take place, and the disciples are simply told to look for a man with a donkey. And Jesus already knows that Judas is planning to betray him. Jesus does not want to let him know exactly where this dinner will take place, since he doesn't want it to be interrupted. So as they enter the upper room, and this is a really neat part of the story, what was custom then is people wore sandals. Have you ever worn sandals or flip-flops in the summertime? Yeah? Do you ever go down to the beach or walk around in your yard and, you know, do errands? And then you come back home and you take off your flip-flops, and what do your feet look like? Are they nice? No. Okay, well, Jesus and the disciples lived in the desert, right? So when they spent all their time in their sandals and they came into a holy place or a nice dinner, the servants would do what? Wash their feet, right? And they get to the upper room and they have these dirty, disgusting feet. And of course, there's no servant there to wait upon them. Do you remember what happens? Jesus himself washes their feet. And when he gets to Peter, once again, this macho, crazy guy, right? You know, I know everything about Jesus. I know what's best. He says, "You know, no, you're not going to wash my feet. You know, you're not going to do that, Jesus. I should wash yours," right? I mean, this is Peter's response, right? And Peter says, "You know, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me," is how Jesus responds to Peter, right? If I do not wash your feet, you have no share with me. I know John F. Kennedy was not everybody's favorite president, right? But he's most known in speech and all kinds of wonderful opportunities for his famous quote, and I think you might remember it. He said, "Ask not what you can do for your country," right? What your country can do for you, but rather what you can do for your country. I challenge you, because Peter had a problem with this. Ask not what you can do for your Lord, rather ask what your Lord can do for you. I think it's difficult in our society, in our world, where we're taught to be self-confident and assured and proud and powerful. And our signs of success have taken us away from humility and servanthood. Little children have no problem with what Jesus says, and they are more than eager to serve or be served. But when we get older, we don't like people to take care of us. We want to take care of other people, because that's a sign of strength and success. And to receive help or to receive assistance is a sign of weakness. So Peter argues with Jesus. He also argues with him when Jesus tells him that all of the people will betray him. Not I. I will not. I would never desert you, Jesus, Peter says. Truly, I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter is confused about what it means to be a leader in the church. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, most fantastic leaders of the faith go through a time of crisis that molds them from a piece of coal into a shiny diamond. Peter had to go through a season, a journey with Jesus that humbled him. And a lot of us pick on him. We say, oh, why would Peter desert him? Why would Peter deny him? We wouldn't do that. But as Mary talked to the children and I talked to you, if your best friend was taken away and arrested and would be killed, and if you were a follower of him and you were scared and you were still a macho man, right? You might betray Jesus. What's beautiful about the story of Peter, though, is that after he does it, and after he, it's neat. In one of the scriptures, it says that he looked through like the fence at the time that this happened, and he could see Jesus' eyes, and Jesus just kept his eyes fixed on him. And what do you think Peter did? Something a big macho man would never do. He cried. As a matter of fact, it says in scripture he wept bitterly. Something inside of him broke. And when we are broken, that is when God meets us in a powerful way. And he realized what a fool he had been. And then he was ready to be the rock of the church. Peter's real crime, if we think about it, was not that he didn't believe in Jesus. Because he did. It was that he didn't believe in himself. When we are our weakest, when we try to be macho, when we try to have all the answers and all the solutions and everything is perfect, and we want to prove to all of our friends and family that we are the best we can possibly be, that is when we will most likely fail. It is when we are human and humble that God will change us. It's pretty cool, as Mary also said to the children, that Peter was one of Jesus' best friends. And when Jesus came back after he was resurrected, he had breakfast with him on the beach. And three times he came to Peter and said, "Do you love me?" And people wonder about this story all the time, because what's the purpose? Well, you know, well, of course, you know, Peter loved Jesus, right? And Jesus knew Peter loved Jesus. And Peter even says, "You know, I love you, Jesus." And yet, why do you think they had that conversation? It was an opportunity for Jesus to say, "You are human, and without me, you will fail miserably. But with me, you can do anything." So let us learn from Peter this Lenten season. Let us break our hearts that we might be his, for now and forevermore.